want to talk about meeting Satan head on is what I want to talk about this morning. If you would turn to Acts, the 19th chapter, we're going to begin with about the 8th verse. We'll get down to the 20th verse. There was a couple of good old boys one time that they wanted to go fishing at this old farmer's pond. It was out in the middle of a field. And the place was posted. But anyway, they stopped and they asked the farmer if they could go fishing at this pond. And when they stopped, he said, "You sure can." But he said, "Let me warn you." He said, "I've got my old bull out there. And he's very mean." He said, "This bull is a big old hurtful bull." And he said, "This thing is mean." And they said, "Ah, you know, big deal. It's a bull. We've handled them before." They said, "We're going to go out there and fish if you don't care." And he said, he'd give them permission to go. So sure enough, they got there one morning and they started out through the field. And there's this bull standing over there. And all at once the thing looked at him and started pawing the ground. And it charged him. And it said, this bull was big as a pickup truck. And it said it looked like it's them, you know. Anyway, so they started running. And they started running away from this bull. And they thought, well, they could outrun it. Next thing they know, this thing's right upon them. And they can hear it coming. And they said they almost hear this, feel the breath on the back of their neck. And the one old boy says to the other one, he said, "You know what?" He said, "You better say a prayer." He said, "Cause that thing's going to catch us if you know, it's going to catch us here in just a minute." And he said, "Just say a prayer for our protection." And that one or the other one said, looked at the other one and said, I don't know how to pray. And that boy looked at him and said, "Well, you know, your mom has told you and had you pray and taught you how to pray all this time. And you said, you can't say a prayer for us?" So once he stopped and he said, "You know, Lord, for what we are about to receive, let us be truly thankful." That's the only prayer that he knew. You know, whenever we're going to meet Satan head on, and I got a reason for this, you know, when we're going to meet Satan head on, we better be prepared. Amen. We better know what we know. We better pray. We better be able to pray. We better be able to have the Spirit of God in our life. We're going to meet him head on. All right, let's read Acts 19, 8 through 20. "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So that all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from the body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the men in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found 50,000 pieces of silver. So mighty grew the word of God and prevailed." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, again, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. Again, Lord, we come thanking you, Father, for the opportunity to be here this Sunday morning, Lord. And Father, we ask you, Father, now to be with the hearts, Lord. Be with me, Lord. I pray, Father, that nothing can be done and accomplished here without you, Lord. We understand that. We know that. And Father, we just praise you and we ask you it all in your Son Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. When Paul had come to Ephesus, he found a city that was completely in the grips of superstition, fear, demonization, and you know what? And in darkness. That's what Paul come upon whenever he comes to this city. There was a great temple of Diana was there, one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world, so they say. It was located. But anyway, it was the seat of all immorality, more or less, was located right there. The major problem in Ephesus was that it was a center in the practice of magical arts, especially those where they would cast spells on people and on things. That's one of the main things that they did. But let me tell you something. Paul didn't beat around the bush when dealing with Satan's stronghold. Do you realize that? He did not beat around the bush whatsoever. Paul assaulted. He went on the offensive when it came to dealing with things like this and things of that nature. That's exactly what Paul did. And you know, a lot of people, it was from the city Ephesus that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth this, a warning in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of what? For the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into capacity to the obedience of Christ." Paul wrote this. Paul wrote this from the city of Ephesus. And it was to Ephesus that he wrote from Rome, saying, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." That's where Paul wrote. This is how wicked, this is what Paul was dealing with whenever he come into this city. The most complete study of spiritual powers and the battle that Christians face can be found in the letters that he wrote to the Ephesians. They can be found there. If you want to find out how to deal with the spiritual wickedness that's out here in this world, you read the books of Ephesians where he wrote it to them. Folks, I want to tell you something right now. We could use that lesson today. Amen? When the enemy comes rushing at us, full bore, I want to tell you something. It's not time for us to tuck our tails and run. It's not. It's not time to take up a defensive position. I'm going to tell you, it's time to charge and meet Satan head on. Exactly, just the way that Paul did. When the gospel is proclaimed, I want you to know something right now. It's always going to be met with opposition. It's going to be met with opposition. I don't care where you're at or what you're about to do. It's going to, over a three-month period, you look at this, Paul preached at the synagogue in Ephesus, where some were convinced of the truth, but you know what? There were others who hardened their heart and did not want to hear what Paul had to say. Like, I'll read it again in verse 8 and 9. "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the thing concerning the kingdom of God." But look at the next one. "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude." Listen to me, folks. Especially you young Christians. Listen to me. Not everyone's going to agree with what you have to say about being a Christian, about serving God. They're not everybody's going to agree with you. They're not going to. I remember the story, and I tell this maybe you've heard it before, after I became a Christian in high school. And I went back to school, and I was a Christian for a couple of months. And I was bold, and you know how you are, I don't know, when you're first saved and how that the Spirit of God is dealing with you and telling you to spread the gospel and tell people. And I would tell my friends, every one of them. But this one boy, he said he didn't want to hear that nonsense. And he told me that directly. And you know what? It hurt my feelings to hear someone, and I had something so good for them, but for them to tell me that they didn't want to hear anything about it. He did not want to hear a thing about it. It hurt my feelings for a little while. It really did. It brought me down spiritually for a while. And I had to realize, listen, and God showed me, not everyone wants to hear what you have to say. That's upon them. You do what I have you to do. You tell who I want you to tell. But not everyone is going to listen to it. Not everyone's going to believe what you have to say. There may be some to even try to argue and embarrass you. There are going to be people like that. Just in the case of Paul's heart, they continue to harden their heart. There are going to be those that the more that you preach, the more that you talk to them, they are going to continue to harden their hearts to what you have to say. Whether we believe it. There are people who are going to be that way. And you know what we have here? We have a picture of a spiritual warfare between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. We can see that picture. And as you go about, as you walk through this Christian life, you will find that you're going to have this battle on a consistent basis. That's what I'm telling you. We cannot tuck tails and run. We have to face this head on sometimes. We've got to do that. We have to realize we're in a battle to win. Paul was in a battle to win. I'm here to tell you this morning, we are in a battle that that our Lord and Savior has already won. We are the winners. We are a battle. We can win this thing. We can win it. But you know what? We've got to let those opposed to the teaching keep. Paul knew who was opposed to his teaching, but Paul did not let that affect the goal that he had in mind, and neither can we. Neither can we. Paul's teaching according to verse 10, and it tells us this in verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Paul didn't back down because he knew that there was a greater picture. I'm telling you right now, whether you know it or not in your life, God has a greater picture for you. There's a greater picture. There's a greater purpose for your life. And whether we want to believe it or not, God has a purpose. He knows what direction it is, and He's wanting to use you. And you know what? Do not back down. Do not back down whenever this world comes to you, whenever Satan comes to you, whenever those come. There are souls to be saved in my family and in your family. There are friends, there are classmates that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you back down, let me ask you this. Who are you willing to let go of? Who are you willing to let go? If you back down, answer yourself your question. Who are you willing to let go of? Is it your son? Is it your spouse? Is it your daughter? Is it your granddaughter or your grandson? Is it a neighbor or coworker? Are you willing to let them go to the devil's hell? And just because you back down and are afraid to stand up for what's right and what Jesus Christ wants us to do? No. Paul did not let all the opposition shut him up. Didn't let it make him cower in a corner somewhere. I'll tell you what, he went in with the gospel guns a-blazing, did he not? I am sure Paul did that. You know what? I am sure Paul did that. I don't care. There may have been the Temple Diana there. There may have been all kind of corruption and evil there. Paul went into that city to preach that Jesus Christ can change lives like it changed his, and I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is still in the life-changing business. Amen. Psalms 2, 1 and 3 tells us, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth shall set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. They're going to come after you. Do you understand that sometimes? As I've told you, they do not like what you have to say all the time. Whenever we preach that sin is sin and we stand up against it, people are not going to like that. And they're going to say this, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. There is rebellion against God, there is rebellion against God's word, and there is a rebellion against God's people today. There is. You see it on every hand. Tell me, are we not living in that world to a T today? Are we not living in that world today just exactly like that? Where, you know what, everything's upside down, everything's turned around. I tell you, I don't understand it myself sometimes, other than this aspect of it. But Satan is really after, because he knows it's getting down to the last time, and I believe he knows that. And he is fighting to get every soul that he can. We need to fight the same way. To get every soul that we can get. So when you feel you're not getting through to someone you're trying to talk to, when you feel like you're discouraged, like you're beating your head against the wall, trying to get through to the lost or loved ones in your life, let me tell you something. Or maybe you're looking around at this world and saying that, you know what? There's so much evil and corruption, it's almost like it's too late. Maybe you think that. Been made out to be the bad guy one too many times. You've been made out to like you're the ones that's wrong. Are we not made out that way today? Are we not made out like Christians are the bad ones? That Christians are the ones that are unloving, are unforgiving, and uncaring? Oh, if they just knew how much we love them. If they just knew how much Jesus Christ loved them. I'll tell you what, they would never think that we're the unloving ones for telling them and for telling them what's right and what's wrong. They would never think that 1 minute. Because you stand up and point to God's word, and that you stand up and you say that sin is sin, and you know what? And you push back when you tell, listen, whenever they try to tell you that right is wrong and wrong is right, well, they try to push it down your kids' throats too. Are we willing to stand up for that? Are we willing to meet Satan head on with like that? Don't back down. Paul didn't. He didn't do it in Ephesus. From what the center, it became the center of sin. It became the center of the gospel influence in Asia. If you look at verse 10 again, and I'll read it again. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Because they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So we can go and we look at this and we say, listen, it may have been the center of sin at one time, but praise God, it became the center of where they spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those in Asia. Listen to me. Don't fear what men may say or do to you. Hebrews 13:5, it says this, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, saith the Lord. You know what? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We can go with confidence, and we can go spreading God's word with confidence, because we know that we are spreading the truth. Amen? Know this also, that whenever the gospel is proclaimed, there will always be an attempt to counterfeit it. Do you understand that? Oh yeah, the devil will always try to counterfeit. He will always try to counterfeit the truth of God's holy word. Always. You know what? From our text today, Satan tried to counterfeit. Listen to what he said. Tried to counterfeit the miracles of God. He tried to counterfeit those. Seeing the power of the name of Jesus Christ, and these guys tried to take and use the name of Jesus Christ to do something that only comes through the power of Jesus Christ and his people, right? But the name of Jesus is no magic charm that can be used. I want to tell you that this morning. It can't be used that way. And you know what? These guys were about to find out what was going on. They found, you know, when it tells us there in verse 15 and 14, it says, and the evil spirit answered and said unto Jesus, I know. And Paul said, I know, but who are ye? Do you realize that those two words there, I know and I know, are totally different words? They look the same in the English, but they're totally different. Did you know that those demons knew Jesus Christ and they knew him personally? They knew him. You remember one of the other demons, whenever Jesus came upon him, and they said, thou Son of God, he said, don't torment us. Remember that over in one of the Gospels? They knew who Jesus Christ was. And they said they knew who Paul was also in a different way. They knew of Paul. But these guys here, they didn't know. And I'm going to tell you something. I asked you this question one time before, and I think Lee Dean preached on this. But you know something? Does the devil know who you are? Does the devil fear you this morning as a Christian? Or does he just yawn every time you walk into the room? Huh? I mean, I'm serious about this. Because you know why? Because this is important. I'm telling you right now, we're in a battle, we're in a warfare, and we need to face Satan head on. We need to face him head on. Folks, the devil has a counterfeit for a preacher. He has a counterfeit teachers. He has counterfeit board and trustee members. He has counterfeit deacons and elders. He has counterfeit church folks. And he even has counterfeit churches out there. Amen? And I'll tell you what, the devil doesn't fear one of them because there's no power in them. And when there's no power in them, I'm going to tell you what, there's no power to change lives. There's no power to change hearts. There's no power to heal. There's no power to do any of the things. Whenever there's counterfeit in it, I'm telling you, there's not no power of the true and the living God in it. The devil even has a counterfeit to his word. Matthew 7:20 tells us, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what? In Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Being abominable and disobedient to every good works, they're reprobate. Every good works are reprobate. You tell me, you look out here in this world today and you ask the question, why is the church losing its power? It's because there's so much counterfeits out there. There's so much counterfeits out there. You tell me why that sometimes things can't happen in churches. You tell me why people are not still getting saved. You tell me why the people, you know, you hear it said that I'm glad to hear what Bev said about the revival going on for months like this. But you know what? There was a time when revivals went on for months all the time and weeks. Because people came expecting the power of God to work in people's lives. They weren't worried about what was going to happen the next day. They weren't worried about what was going to happen that night, later on after church. They were worried about serving God. And I'll tell you what, praise God, we can get back to that still. If we're willing to do it, if we're willing, 2 Timothy 4:3 tells us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. The time's here, folks. It's right now. People don't want to hear sound doctrine no more. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear the preachers and the teachers who will pat them on the back and tell them that everything is all right in your life. Oh, you're such a fine fella. You're such a fine lady. And you know what? You're just, no matter what you're doing, go right ahead. God loves everybody. God does love everybody. But you know what? We fail to see that God's a God of judgment too. And if we do not tell them that they need Jesus Christ in our lives, no matter what you're doing or saying. You know what? You and I right here at Drift Run Church, cannot be one of those people. Can I say that? Amen? We cannot. We cannot let that happen. You and I right here, we must present sound biblical doctrine and we must present it in love. Amen? We must do that. And if we do not do that, we are failing. We are failing. I'm telling you, we must meet Satan head on. We must meet him. We cannot say right is wrong. We cannot do that. If we stand up, because you know what? As a preacher, as a Christian, as a church body, if we do that, we will stand before a just God one of these days and we will give an account for everything that we do that's wrong. Amen? You must say how we do that. Pray and read God's Word so when the false teachers and the false preachers stand up and they try to spew out this stuff to us and to our children, we're able to stand up and say, listen, this is what thus saith the Word of God. Not what says somebody that's trying to spew out this stuff and try to tell you that this stuff's right. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We have something to stand with. Amen? We have something that we can stand on, that we can hold to, no matter what the world, no matter what, I don't care what denomination they are, I don't care where they're going to church at, if they're spewing out evil and spewing out what's wrong, it needs to be addressed. Because you know what? If they do it in front of us, we need to let them know, you know what, thus saith the Word of God. When the gospel is proclaimed, there's always going to be conviction of sin if it's done in the right manner. Amen? And conviction can lead to repentance, and repentance can lead to salvation. Amen?
Amen.
That's exactly what can happen in this life we live in. If we put the gospel out there, it can convict hearts. I want to tell you something. In our text where Jesus' name was being incorrectly used, I want to tell you something. Paul went in and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to, and it convicted him of their sin. Verses 17 and 19 tells us what happened. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. I want to tell you something. Whenever I was lost, the best thing that preacher ever did when he was preaching to me for that month before I got saved, he got up there and preached that sin was sin.
That's right, amen.
And where I was living was wrong. He preached it, and I swear he was preaching at me. I swore that he was. But you know what? I found out later he was preaching to more than just me. But whenever the word came into my heart and convicted me, and I got saved, praise God! Praise God! I am glad that that preacher stood up there and preached what he did. Oh, I tell you what, I'm so thankful that we serve a God that still convicts today through teaching, through His Word, through the convicting of the Holy Spirit upon your life. I am thankful that we serve that kind of God. And I'll tell you, we can meet Satan head on with that. We can show the lost that, you know what? The Satan is lying to them. The mighty works of God begin to, because Paul did not back down. Listen to me. You want to see works in your life and see your family saved and see those people around you, those loved ones saved. Don't back down. Don't back down from the gospel. Tell them that Jesus Christ is still the answer to their life. Tell them that. He didn't let Satan convince him that they were telling people that sin is right. He didn't let them do that. He didn't worry about whether or not, you know what, whenever he went into this temple, wherever he went into the city, he didn't worry about all that stuff. He was there on a mission. He was there to preach Jesus Christ. Listen, we meet Satan head on, we don't back down, is what we need to do. And because he didn't, the gospel was proclaimed. And I want to tell you something right now. If we do the same, if we preach it and don't back down, the gospel will be proclaimed to those that we love, to those that are in our families that are lost, to those neighbors, those co-workers. We can reach them. I'm telling you, we can do that. God has given me this message to let you know, do not give up. We can reach them. No matter how bad we think they are. No matter how bad you think they're, no matter how far you think they slipped into the depths of sin. I'm here to tell you, meet Satan head on. Don't back down from him. John 12:32 tells us, if I be lifted up, and this is Jesus talking, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And we've preached about this here a couple weeks ago, about Jesus Christ being lifted up. We've got to put Him up there above everything else. We've got to show those that are lost around and about us that Jesus Christ is the only answer for them. That He is the only answer. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yes, growth will come in you. Growth will come in the church. Growth will come in us individually if we don't back down, if we continue. How can it be? We need to read and to pray and read God's Word and get it into our lives. If we do that, I'm telling you, we can grow in the Word of God. Unfortunately, and I know this is, oh me or oh my, unfortunately, how many of you even pick up your Bibles when you leave this church here today till next week? And I'm not going to have you raise your hands. That's between you and the Lord, but I'm just telling you. How many of you pick up your Bibles and read it on a daily basis from the time you leave this church today until you come back here next Sunday? And tell me, and then come to me and tell me why you don't grow. Tell me why you don't grow in the Lord. Tell me why that sometimes you wonder why you don't feel what other people feel, or you can't testify the way other people testify. Tell me. I'll tell you what, we need to read God's Word. We need to pray and read God's Word. And I'll tell you what, we will grow. We can grow spiritually. We can grow in the Word of God. We can boldly stand on God's Word and we can face Satan head on. I may be talking to you here this morning. You may be looking at me like, he's a nut. What's he talking about? I'm here to tell you, it is a warfare. And when you step out of this church today, you know it. You know it as well as I do. It is a warfare because Satan is after you. Somebody's on you. Somebody's after you. And you know what? Listen to me. I know where it's coming from. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. As long as he can keep you right where you're at, as long as he can keep you satisfied, he knows you're no soldier that's going to come up against him. He knows that. Let me tell you, you know K-Love does a 30-day challenge where you listen to nothing but gospel music for 30 days? And see how that affects you? See how that affects you? Let me give you another challenge. Read nothing but the Bible for 30 days and tell me how it makes you grow. Come back 30 days from now and tell me how that makes you grow. I know you got to read stuff at work. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the other things that that plug your mind. All the other magazines and the books and all this stuff, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just telling you, flood your mind and your heart with Jesus Christ and come back 30 days from now and tell me that you have not grown. I challenge you to that. And I believe you'll come back and you will tell me that I have grown. I believe you'll tell me that. They come give a song.